And Alana, if you'll give me the time, that'd be great.
Yes.
We're running. My guest on today's Global IQ with Jim Falk is Michael Chertoff, Executive Chairman and co-founder of the Chertoff Group, a consultancy specializing in advising clients on critical security matters, particularly cybersecurity. Mr. Chertoff served as Secretary of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security from 2005 until 2009. Welcome, sir.
Good to be here.
China's President Xi will be honored at a White House state dinner on September 25th, but prior to his arrival in Washington, he's going to visit Boeing and Microsoft. And this is at a time when China's cyber attacks appear to be escalating. What should the U.S. response be?
Well, obviously, one of the challenges we face is that we are both victims of Chinese intellectual property theft, but also there are many U.S. companies that do business in China. And that creates a little bit of a tug of war about how tough to be with the Chinese. Some things I think we can do are consider the imposition of trade sanctions or other kinds of civil sanctions against Chinese companies that benefit from intellectual property theft. There are actions that can be taken in a global trade environment. Some months back, a number of individual hackers were indicted, and I viewed that as kind of an implicit warning that companies that solicit theft of intellectual property could also be indicted. We don't want to overreact, but I do think it's important for the U.S. to take a firm position with respect to commercial espionage, which is to say, when the Chinese use espionage as a way of assisting their commercial companies get a competitive edge.
How is the deteriorating situation in Syria, perhaps we're at a tipping point, I don't know, but how is it affecting perhaps Putin's strategy? Is he getting strengthened by what's happening now in Syria?
Unfortunately, I think what's going on now in Syria and Iraq has really been of great benefit to Putin. Obviously, he's still pushing in the Ukraine to create what they call a frozen conflict, where you essentially make the country neutral because it can't function properly. But he's also now building himself a bigger platform in Syria. He's putting more material and personnel into Syria. He's ingratiating himself with the Iranians. And in doing that, he's putting himself in a position in the region to really push us out. And then a third benefit to Putin from what's going on down there is it's generating a refugee crisis that is overwhelming Europe. And it's creating divisions within Europe. And that puts stress on the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and our alliances, which, of course, then goes back to Putin's original objective, which is to weaken NATO and continue to push his influence into parts of Europe that many years ago were part of the Soviet orbit.
You know, it's very hard for you to answer this in just a minute or two, but your company specializes, I think, in managing cybersecurity. What could you tell a company executive now? What should he be thinking about?
So first, I think you'd have to be realistic.
And they should hire your company.
Well, yeah, of course. But I think you should be realistic about what you want to achieve. You can't stop all cyber attacks or even all cyber penetrations any more than you can guarantee someone they're never going to get sick. What you can do is minimize them and manage them and construct a resilient system that allows you to detect when there's been an intrusion and to respond before there's any real damage. And I think if you think about cyber defense as a system rather than as a single perimeter imaginal line, then there are some things you can do both from a human education and training standpoint and from a technological architecture standpoint that can really reduce your risk. But again, you have to have a reasonable set of expectations about what your objective is.
Is this the same thing for an individual?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think individuals, you know, you need to be mindful of the decisions that you make that increase or decrease your vulnerability. When someone sends you an email with a link, you automatically click on it. How do you verify that it's real? Mm-hmm. How widely do you disseminate personal information? What do you do on social media that might be used by somebody to research you? When you sign up for something, do you willy-nilly give a lot of personal information away? These are all things, again, you can't totally disconnect, but I think these are things which can manage and minimize your exposure. And I think, as with your personal physical health, cyber health involves not trying to never get sick, but trying to be as healthy as possible.
Now, you've had a unique vantage point in your service and your continuing work. At the debate on Wednesday night, there was so much discussion about security on the southern border. Should we be concerned?
I think that, you know, over the years, we've made a lot of progress in securing our southern border, but I think we need to understand you have to look at the border as a system. It's not just a question of putting everybody on the line any more than you would, you know, play a football game by putting all your players up on the line. It's about asking what drives people to come to the U.S. If it's an opportunity to work honestly, maybe a combination of tough enforcement against employers, but a program for temporary workers would bleed out a lot of that pressure. If they're fleeing failed states or corruption and crime and organized drug trafficking, as they are in some of the Latin American countries, then maybe we've got to work with countries there to push back against the gangs and push back against the corruption in much the same way as we've got to deal with Syria in order to prevent a flood of migrants into Europe. Because when people are fleeing for their lives, offense is not going to stop. And so we've got to look at the system end to end if we're going to really begin to push back on this problem.
Do you have a sense of what number of refugees might be acceptable in the United States? Syrian refugees.
I think if you look back to the days of the Vietnamese boat people, we did take, I think, tens of thousands of people. And I think we could do something if we had a disciplined process for evaluating them, vetting their backgrounds, and then integrating and assimilating them. And that requires putting a little bit of effort into building that. Now, the good news is there are any number of charitable and religious groups in this country that have traditionally been welcoming, and we've been very good at integrating people. But it does require putting a process in place, and I think we're not quite at the point of having done that yet.
Mr. Secretary, thank you so much for being our guest on Global IQ with Jim Falk. To learn more about the World Affairs Council Network and a council near you, please go to worldaffairscouncils.org.
Jim, great.
Great being with you.
It's
really nice to meet you.
I enjoyed it. Thanks a lot. It was really well done.
If we can ever do anything for you, just let us know.
All right, absolutely. Yeah, well, it was great. It was great to be down here.